just to learn how to kill. But such forays are never meant for sense gratification. Killing animals to eat their flesh is forbidden for human beings.
Take place
in certain people. So who are such people?
Bhoga
Aishwarya Prasatam, that was what is he describing, that one who is so much attached to Bhoga, sense enjoyment, Aishwarya, wealth, what happens? He loses the resolute determination for performing devotional service. In this case, King Purana is overcome by desire to enjoy. And that's why he got all the commanders, equipments, arrows. Arrows represent the unlimited desires, and the two powerful arrows, which is the component of the ego, accompanied by all that and excessive desires to enjoy it, then the natural consequence is you lose your determination and your intelligence. So that is Vekasaya Sika Buddhi Samadharma Vidyate. Fixed determination, Vekasaya Sika Buddhi. Prabhupada translated Buddhi in this verse as devotional service to the Lord. It does not take place. So one is too much attached to material wealth and opulence, and has got unlimited desires to satisfy it. And at this point of time in Purana's life, his body is also cooperating. He's got all the commanders. Everybody is willing to fulfill his desires. And he is giving up the company of the queen, which represents the intelligence. It is normally very hard to give up. As Prabhupada described in one of the purports, that if the infection in the body is strong enough, it may overcome the power of the medicine also. Similarly, the polluted mind, which has taken control over a person, feasting on the desires and gaining power, overcomes the intelligence. So king is leaving behind the intelligence and going towards sense enjoyment. In this case, he is also going to a forest. That forest is described as Pancha Parsha, the forest of sense enjoyment. Yes, as per Prabhupada's instruction, Hiranyakashipu was directed to go to Vrindavan, which is also a forest, but now we see Puranya, the king, without advice of anybody, is rushing towards the forest of material enjoyment. There is a lot of promise of enjoyment. So, this particular section where the journey of living in the is described as going towards the path of adharma, a religiosity, it will actually bring out the tendencies within us to secretly enjoy and then cultivate a lot of desires within us secretly. And when the situation around us is very favorable, and the sense objects are overpowering and the mind is strong enough, then it pushes behind the intelligence, despite the fact that we know it is the wrong path. We are dragged towards such path.
Pravartiman.
So this sequence, Krishna explains in the second chapter, as you all know, the famous sequence of events that lead up to the fall of intelligence. Yadho, Shyam, and Saha. Starting with that, contemplate on the objects of the senses, person develops attachment. So that's what here is talked about, is too much attached. So so when describing that sequence, the end result is that the person loses his intelligence. So in the same chapter, the same sequence, Krishna also describes the rising up, just as he describes the falling down, he also describes the rising up sequence, where he goes on to say that Raga Dvesha Vimta is to Vishayam Indriyas Charan Atma Vishya Vidayatma Prasad Adi Gatsati. So from this verse onwards, the recovery begins. 2.64 onwards, the recovery begins. So that's why the wisdom in the Gita not only describes the problem but it also gives a solution and is very practical in day to day application as to how we can see as a sequence that lead you to fall down, and there is also a way to recover. Raga Dvesha, attachment and detachment. So one who is able to free himself from the attachment and aversion to sense objects. Now Prabhupada translates that verse as able to control the senses through regulative principles of freedom. That's what it is described. Regulative principles are not considered as a burden. So if you are given a car without any brakes, how much speed will that give you? How fast can you go in that car without brakes, without fear? So not you will be totally scared to drive this car. Now the regulative principles are the brakes. It should not be considered as a torture. They are there to prevent us from getting into accidents. So car without brakes is bound to have accidents. So regulative principles Prabhupada described as freedom. So when you follow the traffic rules with the knowledge of road safety for yourself and for others, no police is going to catch you. You are free. Because you are following the traffic rules, you are free. So the way to attain freedom is by following regulated principles. And the sequence is described in such a way that what do I get by controlling my senses? That is described as one attains the complete mercy of the Lord. That's what is described as prasada adi gacchati. In that purport, Prabhupada describes that sense control should not be done artificially, but it should be done by engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. A person who is starting off in a sensual plane, that is consciousness is more towards sense gratification, even such a person can start devotional service under the guidance of a spiritual master. And he may apparently seem to be attached to the sensual plane, but Prabhupada writes that despite being attached to the sensual platform, if a sincere person works towards satisfying Guru and Krishna, he will gradually get out of the attachment for sensual activities, because his aim is to satisfy only Krishna. And that's how he overcomes the attachment and detachment, the raga and dvesha, attachment and aversion. So for satisfaction, a devotee gives up anything which is undesirable. And for Krishna's satisfaction, he may even perform activities which may normally seem undermined from a worldly point of view. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj being asked to tell a lie. But that was directed by the Lord Dharma to Sakshat Bhagavad Pranitam. So, Lord Krishna is directing him to tell a lie. So, a devotee is not afraid to give up activities which are normally he wants to do, and he is willing to do activities which he normally doesn't like to do. So, that's how he is overcoming attachment and aversion. And what do I get by that is the mercy of the Lord, the prasadam, mercy of the Lord. That's what you obtain. So, the sense control and mind control are described in many places in the Bhagavad Gita. It's better to control at the level of the mind itself, rather than trying to control the senses, because mind is the seat of enjoyment. That's where you imagine you enjoy or suffer. But then that's not possible if the senses are overpowered. At least not give up the fight, like letting go of the consciousness in the wrong direction. That's where the Purnina is heading towards. So let's look at this from the viewpoint of a real life example where you have a lot of wealth you need to take care of and you're in a protected room and the room is not locked. And outside the room, you know that people are waiting to snatch the wealth that you have. So it is better to keep the room locked, bolted, and whatever precautions that you need to take care so that you protect the wealth. But for some reason, if the door is not locked and the thieves or the burglars, they have entered the room, now, what will you do? What will you do? You try to prevent. You try to hide, okay, that's also an option. Will you not go and rush to lock the door when they're trying to come in? At least when the attempts are made, will you just go outside? Oh, here's the wealth, take it and go. No, you won't go there. You will try your best to attempt to lock the door, but they're trying to get in. Now, the second thing is they're overpowered and they have got in. Now, you will not just hand over the wealth to them without any fight. So, that's what the first scenario is, keeping the room bolted and locked, where you control the level of the mind itself. But then that doesn't happen. Somehow the senses are covered and they are broken in and they are as a tiger has tasted the blood, the senses have tasted sense gratification and they want more. So in that case, just as you don't hand over the wealth to the burglar and say, okay, here is it, go for it. You will try to protect that. As you said, you may try to run away. You do all the attempts to protect. So that wealth you're protecting is your devotion to Krishna, which is being taken away by the burglars of sense gratification and lack of mind and sense control. So idea is to control at the level of mind itself, but that's not possible. At least when the senses have overpowered us, we don't just give in, we continue the fight. And as Krishna describes here, by following regulated principles of freedom, one gets the mercy of the Lord. And that's where we go to the next step in the recovery cycle, where Krishna describes, after having got the mercy of the Lord, what happens? Prasade sarva dukkhanam hane ashyopajayate prasanna chetaso yashu buddhi pari avastate avatistate. Sorry. Now we saw the falling down sequence, and now we are in the recovery sequence where we've got the mercy of the Lord. Then what happens after that? After having attained the mercy of the Lord, for one, thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. In such satisfied consciousness, what does he get back? The one that he lost, which is the buddhi. The buddhi becomes established. One's intelligence is soon well established. So the sequence is described where he achieves the mercy, he gets out of the miseries, he becomes, his mind is happy and intelligence is re-established. That's how the second chapter describes both the falling down sequence and also another side, Krishna describes the recovery sequence also. It begins with the control of the senses, control of the mind, continue to engage in devotional service through the guidance of the spiritual teacher. And we saw the regulated principles are not burdened, but they are getting you to freedom. By that you get the mercy of the Lord. By the mercy of the Lord, you are satisfied. Material miseries go away. Mind is happy, then the intelligence is soon established. By that you attain transcendental intelligence. That's the sequence. Now it's 2.66. Nasi buddhi ayukkarse, na chayukkarse bhavana, na chayabhavaya takshanti, asantarse kuta sukham. So it is described in, if you don't get this, there's no possibility of going to the next step. So that's how it's described. There is no transcendental intelligence or a steady mind, then there is no possibility of peace. And if there is no peace, there is no question of happiness. So we can take it in a positive way that if I get transcendental intelligence and steady mind, I'll be peaceful, and by becoming peaceful, I'll be happy. So that's how the recovery cycle finishes. So with this knowledge, when we know that our chariot is going in the wrong direction, which happens many times, we can redirect the chariot and bring it back in the proper direction by gaining the transcendental intelligence back by satisfied mind and being peaceful and achieving happiness. But this does not happen always. The world before it. One of the key qualities that will prevent us from attaining this happiness cycle, and one of the qualities described here in this particular verse, which is a demoniac quality. Is the great pride. The purport describes. Instead of great pride, he accepts the bow and arrow of attachment and hatred. So we know that there is a recovery cycle, but one of the impediments which I felt personally from analyzing my own consciousness, for me one of the great blocks is pride, which takes me in the wrong direction. So I was reading further about how to overcome pride. And the next section I would like to focus on the instructions to the mind by Raghunathas Goswami. It's called the Manasiksha, where I found information about overcoming pride, which is listed as the first in these demoniac qualities, Dambha, Dambha, Vimana. So demoniac qualities, the first one is the Dambha, which is the pride. So in the first instructions to the mind, Raghunatha Goswami begins by instructing the mind to take shelter of Guru, Vaishnavas, the holy Dham, the devotional service and the process of surrender, and immediately he says, always give up pride. So giving up pride is not like you take a shovel and then take it out and throw it once and it's gone forever. So it keeps coming back again and again. One has to constantly check if this section is for my purification. Where one has to constantly be vigilant and check the influence of pride. It's not that once we achieve some big things, like you have, say you've given a nice class, or you've distributed many books, or you've coordinated a big festival, and after that pride comes up. Prabhupada describes that it's there within us when describing that section in the 16th chapter. Right from the birth, it's there. It comes out when the situation arises. I think in the 16th chapter, yeah, when 16.4, these demonic qualities are taken on by them, which is, I would like to mean, from the beginning of their bodies, in the womb of their mother, and as they grow, they manifest all these inauspicious qualities. So it's there, dormant, and then it comes out when the situation is favorable. So the sources of pride which they describes in her prayers, Janma, birth, Aishwarya, wealth, being praised by others, being beautiful or handsome. So these are all the some of the sources by which we can become proud. The elements of pride is described by His Holiness Sevan Swami in his commentary to this first instruction to the mind, where he picks it up from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's description. So these are the elements of the pride. The first one is illusion. Illusion means one becomes satisfied, or one tends to become too complacent by the things that he has achieved materially. By the material accomplishments, by the results that we achieve, we may become satisfied and complacent. So I was reflecting on this, like in real world we set targets, we set key performance indicators, KPIs or whatever it is. So these are all set and then we work towards it, we achieve. That tendency may creep in, and we may do the same thing in spiritual activities also. We may be satisfied by our own accomplishments, and we become complacent. That's the characteristic of illusion, which is one of the elements of pride. The second element is deceit. Deceit is one becomes satisfied with the externals that he has obtained in course of doing devotional service. It could be one's dress, one's mannerism, one's demeanor. So while doing bhakti also we get a lot of our externals change a lot. So if one is satisfied with that and thinks that he is he's attaching a lot of importance to only the externals and he's satisfied with that, so that is described as deceit. The third element is pretense. Pretending to do bhakti but having ulterior motives and having desires other than to please Krishna, but I am pretending to do bhakti. So this can be checked by going back to the definition of pure devotional service, which is Anya Vilashita Shunyam. So that's when I recollected that if devotional service has to be uninterrupted, it has to be unmotivated. So why am I getting interrupted a lot? Because my motive is not pure. So the way to get out of pretense is to check the motives. Now the idea is not to give up the action itself, because one may think, okay, I'm doing a lot of activities, I'm getting a lot of accomplishments, so that's how I'm becoming proud, so I'll give up my activities. So then there won't be any pride. But pride will still be there, and when you see that others are accomplishing many things and others are getting the glory, so the same pride will manifest as envy towards them. So it's better to engage our natural skills that we have instead of being afraid of getting proud. So the principle is not to give up the action but to check the intention and have a proper intention. So that describes pretentious or pretense. So instead of doing pretentious devotional service, it's good to do pure devotional service. Which means we are clear about what the goal is. Next element of pride is ignorance. Where you forget who you are and you tend to identify yourself with who you are not. And that's the direction in which King Kuranjana is heading towards. He has all the commanders, the chariot, and the unlimited desires and all that. And he is heading towards, he is forgetting his actual position of his spiritual identity and is heading towards the wrong direction. So ignorance is also an element of pride, where you forget your spiritual identity and you take up an artificial material identity. What comes next is the deviousness, which means is very closely related to pretense, where you have a deviant mentality, where you start to develop ulterior motives and you start to deviate and act in that way. And the last is the offense, where it manifests externally. As we know, offenses towards the holy name, offenses in your seva, and then offenses towards Vaishnava Prabhupada, then dham for us. So these are the elements that cause pride. Just to summarize, illusion, deceit, pretense, ignorance, deviousness, and finally offense. These are all the elements of pride. Reading this gave me understanding of what's going on within me and where I need to guide myself. As always, we don't discuss only the problem, we also discuss the solution. Now the first point that is described as part of solution is to always remember your spiritual master when you do spiritual activities, even for the material activities. The body, mind and your will, everything become the property of the spiritual master. So when we are doing it as their representative, then whatever comes, whatever praise or wealth or resources that you get, so you can offer and you should offer them to your spiritual master. So feeling your spiritual master's presence always helps to check pride. Second is to serve advanced devotees. One of the verses for Dhamma Mahatupasaya. Mahatupasaya means by serving the Mahats, by getting their instructions, by getting their correction, our, that's a good way to check pride. We touched upon this little earlier, that we continue the devotional service and not to give up devotional service. I kind of went into the solution also. By continuing to do devotional service despite having pride, what happens is, because you're sincere and you are following and you're trying to remember your spiritual master and dedicate the results to them. Now, the sense of achievement or accomplishment, that doesn't stay with you. You're passing it on to the spiritual master and the previous acharyas, and that is the safe way, safety net for you. By that, you obtain the blessing of the spiritual master. His Holiness Satchinanda Swami recollects in this regard that when he travels in Vrindavan, because he is in the sannyas dress, a lot of them come and try to touch his feet. And he writes that if I think and accept that respect is for me, that will actually literally save me. So he says he takes it and passes it on to the true spiritual master, in this case it's when raised to the Prabhupada. So that way he says it's safe. So otherwise the same worship may turn pride and that will kill you. So by passing it on to the previous to the spiritual master and the previous acharya, we continue the devotional service despite having identified the problem. And as we described earlier, devotional service gives prasada, which is the satisfaction. So we are able to compare the scintillation or the momentary pleasure that we get by being proper acting in that way, to compare that with the lasting happiness from devotional service. So then by gradually experiencing that, you give up the intention and not the action itself, which is your devotional service. Another solution is to read, something very known to everybody, but read Krishna's pastime, which is very specific to taking away pride. This is where Sri Ramaswamy gives more details. pride which arises from residual bad habits which you carry from the previous lifetimes, as Prabhupada said, we are carrying from, I mean, just from our young age, right from the womb of the mother is dead. So by reading Krishna's pastime where he kills the demon Shakadasura, you get all of pride which comes from residual bad habits from the previous lifetimes. During the course of bhakti, you may gain a lot of knowledge, you may become a scholar, and you may get proud. So by reading the pastime of Trinandata, that exemplifies pride through scholarship, you can overcome pride by reading Trinandata pastime. One may be proud due to aristocracy of high birth. So, we recently had Damodar Mandir where Krishna pulled the trees down, Yamala and the Arjuna trees. So, reading that pastime helps to get out of pride due to aristocracy, high birth. Sometimes you may be proud due to a devious mentality, as we described, and crookedness. So, reading Kaliya pastime helps us overcome that mentality. We may be proud due to our position in the Varnashram. I'm a Brahmana, I'm so on Kshatriya. So by reading the Yati Brahmana's pastimes as to how they hesitated to offer Lord when he wanted, whereas their wives were able to do that. So reading that pastime is just to work on pride which is coming out of position in Varnashram. Aristocratic pastimes helps us to overcome pride arising out of practicing false religious principles. It's highly relevant in this case because King Prachinabharisha is going into so much of animal killing in the name of religion. And one has to give up that mentality. I'll stress upon the animal killing as it's described in the Purport also. If you have a belief that animals don't have life, they don't have any sensation, and they are just there for me to exploit, if you have that core belief in you, and coupled with your desire to eat meat, coupled with your uncontrolled senses. So your belief and your motive and your uncontrolled senses and all your desires, you kill animals mercilessly. So the way out, that's also a sense of pride and a sense like I can do whatever I like and get away with it. And these are for my enjoyment. So to get out of that is to change the belief itself, saying that I am a living being, I have feelings, pain, pleasure. That's why you see some of the YouTube or Facebook clips where young children, when the father takes a knife and goes to cut the chicken, the children will cry out and they can't tolerate it. That's when they're actually pure, they're very close to godly nature. And the parents will stop. They won't. Every time the father goes near the chicken with the knife, the child will scream. So, if the belief is that these living beings also have life, they have senses, they have pain, pleasure, and I should not, when you change that belief, that I should not harm other living beings, whether in the matter through religious practice or irreligious practice, I will not do that. Then the rest will follow. Your action, your desires, everything also change gradually. So, reading Aristotle's pastime helps us overcome pride arising due to practicing false religious principles. In the spiritual life also we may be put in higher positions, like a guru or a sannyasi or other big positions. If one becomes too proud of that, one can get out of that by reading KC Demon pastime of Krishna killing KC Demon, that pastime. Read, you can get out of pride arising from position due to your in the spiritual circle you get positions. So if you have become proud about that, you can get out by reading Krishna killing KC Demon. So we kind of looked at the elements of pride and analyzed as to how we can check that by considering ourselves to be an instrument, nimitta mantra, and passing on the glories, whatever we receive out of devotional service to the spiritual master and the previous acharyas, and thereby we are able to check pride, which is one of the major blocks for us to get the mercy of the Lord. That's the whole sequence we described as to how we had a falling down sequence and we had a recovery sequence. And what prevents us from recovering is the pride, and we also saw how we can overcome the demonic mentality of pride. I'll stop here and see if there are any questions related to what we discussed today. Yes.
Prabhu, you mentioning about that very point that you just said, you know, there's a fall down cycle in, and the verses in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, they talk about the fall down and then they talk about recovery.
Yeah.
So, and you said how usually sometimes, even in our life, the chariot goes in the wrong way. Like, I'm just struggling to understand how pride is an impediment when you talk about recovery.
How is it that pride is an impediment in the recovery cycle? Because it makes you believe that whatever I'm doing is right and I don't have to consult others. So which means it prevents you from associating with the devotees. And if there's no one to tell or correct, so then you keep on going in the wrong direction. That's what I feel.
So
it will prevent you from recovering in the sense that if, say for example, Bharat Maharaj's pastime is there in Bhagavatam, somebody, if he were in the association of devotees, they would probably like, say, look, it's going a bit too much. Now we need to focus on. So that was not out of pride. I'm giving it an example for devotee association, that if that's there. So our pride will prevent us from taking the association or taking advice or consulting others. Is that
some aspects of your life, what I'm thinking is there's a problem here and there's a solution here. You're saying it stops a person from even going to the solution, but
yes,
with devotees here, and we see there's a problem, here's a solution. So that when we start applying the solution, there may be other problems, but how's like?
Yeah, so the pride is not the only problem. So your question is, okay, there's a solution, there's a problem, and devotees are applying it. And that's why this whole Manasiksha talks about a plunderers in the path of bhakti. So first instruction is that of giving up, always give up pride, sadatana mitva. And then there's a whole sequence of which progress the next step, then there's the next set of challenges and solutions. Then when you clean out the gross anathas, then there's the next level of anathas, which are more subtle, and there are solutions like that. So Har Grace Urmila Mahaji is given the seminar, you can look it up on YouTube. And the Manasiksha book is available in Kindle version also. So that's all. So, that, as you rightly said, it's not that we overcome one, and then we are done with this sort of whole sequence. Anyone wants to add to that?
Yes. Thank you very much, Hari Purush, for the nice lecture. What about?
Yeah, I was facing.
As Krishna says, Karmendriyani Sajamya Aste Mansasman, Vidyartha Vimalatma Vishadara. So if you are pretending, you cannot advance. Second point you were saying about the concentration. So Lord Krishna says, 9.22. So such a guarantee Krishna has given that if you think of me, I'll take care of everything. Whatever you possess, yoshimoyam. I'll keep it, and whatever you need, I'll give you. Still we are so foolish. We don't know to celebrate. My question is, you were saying about the Kesi Bhima.
Yeah.
So please tell us a bit more how we, what instruction we get from the that pastime.
Having read that pastime here, I just took up the very long word.
Pride. Yeah. Ego, was ego and pride. Because he was so powerful, he made so much strength. And he's getting sort of wrong.
Sorry. I remind you. You can enlighten us. Or maybe after class. You want to do
that? I want to hear this. You will be prepared. The subject so nice.
I didn't read the pastime message. But yeah, it does represent about two types of anatta, or just a certain type of pride, and why they able to overcome that. Yes.
So the question is a bit different to the topics. You know, we talk here about how kings went to the forest to hunt.
Yeah.
Like even with Parikshit Maharaj, for example, he went to the forest to hunt, and at that time he was thirsty and so the great kings do that. So I think a reaction for killing animals as well, just like.
Yeah, there's a clear reaction for killing animals. That's actually coming up in the few verses from now. There's a naturally question will arise. So if there's an opportunity for sense gratification, everything is in front of us, then why we should not enjoy it? Now there are regulations about what animals to be killed, to what extent they need to be killed. If you go over and above that, that's when you incur sinful reaction. So Prabhupada described Kshatriyas are meant to be trained or killed, so kill, they kill ferocious animals to protect the sages. That way they practice their skills also. Then seven, if they go over and above that, that's when they incur.
Okay, you mentioned pride in seed, tents and others. So are the others, are they the consequence of pride, or are they listed as separate items that...
They make up pride. So they are, so the elements that are listed, so they are described as the elements. Element means that which are building blocks of pride. So that's like the end result. It's pride made up of all these. So, and some may be very close to each other, like deviousness and pretense could be very close. So that's how it's described. Yes.
Just as a comment, there's different kinds of pride. Pride with arrogance is what we're talking about. But I remember when I was 13 or 14 or maybe younger, at my first woodwork class. And the teacher at the front said, before you do anything, I want you to turn around and have a look at the sign at the back of the room. And the sign on the back of the room read, pride in craftsmanship. And there was no arrogance in that. who was doing your job properly, not only for yourself, but for some for other people to enjoy. If you have love with a child, that's also pure. The saying goes, pride goeth before a fall. And that type of pride is your own arrogance. And that's when that brings you to your knees. But sometimes being brought to your knees through that sort of pride brings you right back to God. I've done it 1,000 times. When everything I think is going okay in my way, that's when I'm away from God. But when I'm more reliant and I realise how small I am, that's when I'm closer.
One more point you were telling in the class about Satyananda Swami. I was in his Vyas Puja, I think 1993, in Germany. He repeated the same thing. I am accepting this honor on behalf of Vyas, Srila Vyas Deva. If I feel, then if I am taking on me, I am like a dog. He said, all the people, there were about 120 people. I am taking all this credit on behalf of Vyas. That's one way of keeping the pride down.
Yeah, interesting point which John brought out. Yes, so we are against false pride, being proud of material achievements. At the same time, when we understand that we are humble servant, so at least the conception you must have is that, and if you realize that, then it's best. Because intelligence has got aspects like generalizing, then going very specific, then going deeper, understanding, and also living by it. So that's when it moves towards, from intelligence towards knowledge and realized knowledge. So as you said, like doing activity for Krishna, getting the results, and by pleasing Him, you also have that sense of accomplishment as I'm a servant of Krishna. So that pride of saying that I am a servant of Krishna, a humble servant of Krishna, that one can hold on to.
Yeah.
So that will actually help us. Yes.
Thank you. You mentioned how this example of this man with a knife who was going to kill the chicken, and how the solution for that is to actually, I'm just paraphrasing, but to understand life.
You change the belief.
I guess the question really is how, because the reason why there's so many animal slaughter and all that committed, and say for example in China, people are so ruthless, is because they are desensitized and they just don't know, they can't, there's no feeling there, so to understand the right principles, but how do you do it or something?
The question is, people are so desensitized that they're just doing it. So
how do we make them aware of higher principles?
How do we make them aware of higher principles? Okay. I wish Prabhupada was there, he was there in China and preaching. So the strategy, at least with my understanding, what they're following in China is some of them doing all these abominable activities, they also want to keep their body fit. And for that they come for yoga. And when they're coming for yoga, they're exposed to some prasadam and taught some principles of yoga. One of them could be ahimsa, where they're given that exposure and education, and slowly they take many attempts to feed them prasadam and then come back them in the high place, and then they eventually give up. So that is one way of doing it, educating, like going to the root and changing their belief. believe that they did. And probably showing scientific evidence that animals also have feelings, that this pain wave concept, where if there's an excessive pain experienced by animals in a particular area, it attracts natural disasters there. So one way of looking at them is to educate them through scientific facts and how it will eventually, plus we give them an alternative of prasadam, which is the higher taste, combined with this and changing the belief gradually. And we affect larger portion, I think. Prabhupada was another devotee, Tamil Krishna Maharaj, example. What's his name? He preaches in China. No,
his name.
He used to come here. Yeah. So he said that a lot of them, Radha Chandra, that they're able to teach yoga to larger people and do that. At that time, they slowly bring in prasadam and then the principles and give them the knowledge and the proper solution. Yes.
Just on the meat eating, there are people who are killing animals who are probably completely unaware of the fact that it is sinful. It is sinful. And for example, a child is eating a meat straight at home, and those who are just consuming out of ignorance, what would be the like karmic, would be like equally everyone who's partaking, or would it be some like different level of grace?
I would say it is a part of some bad karma that you are born in a family that is eating meat. It's part of, if we analyze karma cycle, it's too complex. So my understanding is like you have taken birth in a particular family that is eating meat because of your previous karma. And whether you know whether that's, so the example is that of you touch the fire, the child touches the fire till this point. So ignorance is not an excuse, you will equally get reaction. So whether you are forced to, whether you're fed it in the family, everybody gets the same. That's what, who transports it, who cooks it, who organizes it, who eats. Because I'm a child, I'm innocent, I'm eating. Yes, you are innocent because this lifetime you may seem to be innocent, but you've done certain activities in the past because of which you're born and family is eating meat. So, there you will get reactions. Same thing, sir.
Srila Prabhupada also says ignorance is no excuse. So, it's a duty to find out what is supposed to be.
Ignorance is not an excuse. One has to find out. But is even in case of my own family, sometimes I've seen when they're really young, my sister's son, when he was given at a very young age, when he was given egg and other things, he just vomit. He won't take it. But over a period, they kept giving him and he got used to it. And now. So when they're pure, actually, they can't handle it. But then, you just give me. Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.